Welcome to the Global Missions Inc. podcast. This week's episode features Terry Zimmer.
You know, God is moving us on. And that was what's been in my mind, is God is moving us on. And like we talked about, we're a little uncomfortable because we're not sure where we're going. But I listened to one of the brother talk a message, and he called it Moving On. And when he was talking about moving on, this is what God dropped in my heart. He said, with every moving on, there has to be a leaving behind. There has to be a leaving behind to move on. I was praying one time, Lord, draw me nearer to you. And I pray that a lot. When I bow my head down to pray, I said, well, the only thing I can pray is more of you. Draw me nearer, more of you. Because everything we need is in Him. Everything we need is in Christ. By drawing nearer to Him, everything is that we need is fulfilled. But He said to me, when you pray, draw me nearer. Draw me nearer to you. It's the same as praying, draw me further from yourself. You see, both prayers are the same. Because you cannot get nearer to God and bring your carnal nature with you. John the Baptist said, I need more and more of Jesus and less of me. They both go together. You cannot say, I want more and more of Jesus, but I do not want less and less of me. You see? For you to have more of Jesus, there has to be less of you. And so we pray more and more of you. And we automatically, and less of me. And we can continue to pray that more and more of Jesus and less of me and more, now I want more of Jesus and less of me. Okay. Tomorrow I can wake up and pray, let's go further. More of Jesus and less of me today. And I can pray that and pray that and pray that until, guess what? It's all Jesus and no me. Amen. That's the end of the prayer. That's what we're aiming for. There has to be a leaving behind. I know that in myself, you know, we want all the blessings of God. We want all His blessings that He has for us. He wants all His blessings. What's keeping us from entering in? I feel like it's right there. It's right there. You know, we just could grab it. It's just right there. But there's something blocking it. What is it? Well, God is talking to us about moving on. And we were moving on last night. We were trying to move on and into what God had for us. He had something for us. And we were praising Him and worshiping Him and saying, oh God, we want what You have for us. Isn't that what we were doing? We were saying, oh God, what have You for us? We want it. We want to enter into it. And He is saying, oh children of God, I want you to have it. But there's something blocking it. We are moving on. There was a moving on these grounds in 1948. There was a moving on. There was people on these grounds praying just like we were last night. Thursday night, we cried out to God. Oh, God, hear my cry, O Lord. Hear my cry. And a lot of different individuals prayed that prayer. And you prayed it, not on the behalf of yourself, you prayed it on the behalf of God's people. It was God's people crying out. And I don't know, you know, if you're in India, the Philippines, or whatever country you're in, the cry of the body of Christ was crying out. And you're all part of it. There was a cry in 1948. There was a great stirring of God's Spirit in 1948. The Spirit of God was stirring in people. And I see that stirring in you today. There's a great stirring because God caused His Spirit to stir in the people. And they were hungry. And they fasted and prayed and cried out to God. And they prophesied of things to come. Some went on. Some moved on. Some did not. There's a story in the Bible about the rich man. He had a stirring in his heart. He wanted everlasting life. And he said, Lord Jesus, what do I need to enter into everlasting life? And the Lord said, well, you need to do all these things, these righteous things. I don't have the scripture. I should have. He said, I've done all that. I've done all that. And the people in 1940, what must you do to move on? Well, you must fast and pray, and you must have a vision of what's before you. These are the things you need. Well, we have all that. But there was one thing that Jesus said after that. There's one more thing. Those things that you have, those riches that you have, those things that you are so fond of, those things that you have so much pride in, those things that you accumulated over the years, those things that you love and they become a part of you, you have to let them go. And in 1948, a lot of people did not move on, not because they didn't want to, not because they didn't see the vision, not because they weren't hungry for the things of God, but they could not lay the old things down. They could not lay it down. And we are going to have to lay some things down. We are going to have to set some things aside. In my personal life, there are some things that I got to set aside. I got to get rid of. I got to put it down. In the corporate church, in the church, in the body of Christ, there are some things that are going to change. There's some things that are going to change. And when we talked about it, Brian said, well, it's a little uncomfortable. But it's a change. Things are going to change. We're going to put things down. And we have to do that. This is, you know, these prophecies that we heard the other night, Wayne shared these prophecies. It's instructions from our Heavenly Father. We need to really, you know, in 1948, I say that there was a prophecy in that cloud room over there. And when that prophecy was, that students got on it like a dog on a bone. They got on it like a dog on a bone. What is God saying to us? How do we enter into this? How do we make this a part of us? How do we enter into that anointing of being? We want it. And they wrote the prophecies down. And what was God saying? They were hungry for the things of God. And there was a great stirring. And there was a great moving on. Well, we're looking forward today. But that's what they had to do. Amen? Amen. You know, these prophecies told us, get on the ark, focus on God, focus on Him, not the size of the shoreline. Put those things aside. It's very clear. Very clear. These prophecies that we've heard over the last year have been more clear than any prophecies that ever gone before. They are so clear. I'll tell you a little story about myself, and I don't like to talk about myself because I don't normally have anything good to say about myself. Because I make more mistakes than anybody. So here I am, sitting at home, watching the news. Which the news is just, who knows what to believe. You know, it's just all carry on. It's all garbage. Watching it, and I said, man, this is garbage. I don't know what to believe anymore. That's what I said. I'm watching it. I said, I don't know what the truth is. That's what I said. I said, I don't know what the truth is anymore. The Lord just said, Terry, you do know the truth. I am the truth. I am the way and the life. You do know the truth. Why are you looking for the truth out there? Now you are confused. You are confused to the point that you are saying, I don't know the truth anymore. Well, I felt very ashamed. I said, sorry, Lord. Sorry. Forgive me. It's that easy to be tricked up. The Lord says, do not look outside because you will be tricked up just that quick. Amen? Amen. You will be tricked up just that quick. Stay on the ark. Very clear. Very, very clear. All truth, the only truth, is in Christ Jesus. The Word of God is truth. Outside of the Word of God, outside of the Word of God, there is no truth. There is no truth outside the Word of God. All truth, He is the truth. There are things that we need to lay aside. It was so clear what God was saying to us. I was in that meeting. I was in that meeting. And yet here I am, looking at this outside on the shore. Shame on me. A young lady had a dream. I want to share the dream. She shared it with us in one of the church meetings. She said, I was in the house. This was the dream. She was in the house. Outside, she heard a noise. Which was frightening. Because it was frightening. There was a noise outside her house. She went to the door and opened it. Like that. There was a guy out there that wanted to harm her. He wanted to harm her. She invited it in. She invited this guy in. Yeah. Now she's in the house and this guy is, you know what he's trying to do? Harm her. She says, I knew he wanted to harm me and yet I invited him in. That was the dream. Does that relate to you? Can you understand that dream? We invite things in. You know, the way the dream should have went, and when she, soon as she heard the noise, the ruffling outside. She should have just said, Jesus, lock the door. That's the message. How much junk do you invite into your life, into your home? You know it's harmful. But you invited it in. Heard Brother Merv Smith one time say, why would I put that garbage in my head? I have too much in there already. Well, think about that. Here you are trying to get the garbage out of your head. You're trying to overcome the carnal nature. You're doing everything you can to put the carnal to death on this side, and you're inviting more in on this side. Yeah, you know, no wonder we're frustrated people. But that's what I was going to talk to you about. But I'm not, because of what I saw here at the beginning, the love of God. I'll tell you how. I'm going to read a prophecy to you that was February 18th, I got it in here. I think it was North Carolina. And this is just another example of clear God is talking to us. I am here to give you a double portion of my love. Yeah. I am here, saith the Lord thy God, to give you a double portion of love. For yea, I say unto thee, if you will open your hearts, if you will say in your heart, Lord, let me receive. Behold, I will pour my love into you. For yea, I say unto you, I am calling a people from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And they will be a great people that will go forth, for I am doing a new thing. There's a moving on. That's what it's talking about. But yea, I say unto you, the banner that shall be over that army is a banner of love. For yea, I have called a people to unity, to oneness. I couldn't believe what just happened here. It was so wonderful. Into unity in me. Yea, I am love. I have called you to have a greater love for one another. I have called you to have a greater love for one another. I have called you to have a greater love for those in need in the world and for those who are in great darkness. I have called you to have a greater love for your neighbors. There's two commandments. One is love God with all your heart, with everything you have. The other is love one another. All other commandments are filled with those two commandments. To love those in great darkness. I say unto thee, I am in your presence in this moment to fill you with my love. Well, this was on February 18th, but with God, we're in that same hour, that same time. He is here right now to help us to enter into this greater love. I am in your presence in this moment to fill you with my love as I have never done before. Open your hearts to me and receive. Open your hearts to me and receive a greater love for one another. Wow.
I read that and I said,
Lord, I want that. The carnal nature doesn't want that. The carnal in me does not want a greater love for those around me. The carnal loves, I love myself. This is the carnal nature. Beloved. Everything me, me, me. But the Christ in me, that's a whole different story. And we just saw a little glimpse of that here just a minute ago. So I said, I want that, Lord. Never mind what my carnal nature is saying. I want it. Because you see, I am beginning to enter into a place where Christ is governing my mind. The carnal nature wants to govern my mind. But that is dying. And now that Christ is coming forward, and I have a renewing of my mind. And that new governor of my mind is saying, I want that. But he says, open your hearts and receive. Well, I said, well, Lord, how do I open my heart? How do I want this? You say, open your heart. How do I open my heart? He said, by giving me 100% of your attention. 100% of yourself. Making me first in your life. Taking your eyes off of the things of the world and focusing them totally on me. That's how you open your heart. That's how he wants us to open our heart to him. Put him first. Well, I was very... That prophecy just jumped out at me, and I'll tell you why. Because I had experience in September, I think it was. I was invited to a wedding. It was Gina's wedding. Well, I knew her from when she was a toddler. But I had the privilege of knowing Gina when she was small. She was the same age as my son. So they would play together. And, well, the only story I really have, I got a good story about Gina when she was small, 6 years old or so. We were downstairs, visiting downstairs in the church building, and there was a carry-on noise upstairs, and the kids were making a racket up there. So I thought, I hope Gina is not leading my good son astray up there. So I better go check on this. So I went up there, and sure enough, Gina was a ringleader. And what they were doing is, Gina had these little shoes on, and they were really easy to kick off. So she would kick, and the shoe would fly, and then it all laugh. And then the other kids were trying to kick their shoes off. So I went up there, and the shoes flying all over. And Gina was the expert at it. And her shoe went right out the window. And they had to run out. Short time later, I'm invited to her wedding. It's at the reception. Gina was a young lady, beautiful young lady, smart young lady. She found herself a wonderful guy. And I thought, man, she's got it made. They're gonna have a wonderful life together. This love come over me for Gina. That just floored me. Just floored me. I was so proud of her. So happy for her. And loved her like she was my own daughter. This love just boom, overwhelmed me to the point where it just shook me. I said, "Watch it." So the old man nature says, "Well, she's not your daughter. You know, you don't love her like she's your own daughter." But the Christ in me says, "Yes, you love her like she's your own. The next day, I couldn't let it go. This overwhelming love. And it was a few weeks later, I was talking to some of the brothers in the Lord about it. And I said, I was at this love come over me. It was like, and I was so happy for her, like she was my own. And someone said, yeah, but you would always love your own daughter more. And that just clashed with my spirit. No! No! You see, we pray. We've been praying for a couple thousand years. The Lord is my shepherd. Or not the Lord, we pray that His kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. You see, we've been praying that. And this is what the Lord said, you know, this is a part of the kingdom coming to earth. This love. So we've been praying it. He taught us to pray it. And we've been praying it for over 2,000 years. So we have the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and we got the earth, and it's starting to come together like this. It's meeting in the church. Yes. It's meeting in the church. It's starting to happen. But I still couldn't figure this out, how I could love this Gina like she was my own. So you know, when you don't understand something and you're not too clear with it, you put it on a shelf. You don't, if there's something you don't quite understand, you just don't throw it in the garbage. Say, well, that's, I don't understand it. If you feel the Lord is speaking to you, but you don't just eat it up like you know neither, because that can do damage too if you don't really understand it. So I put this one on the shelf. Then I come across a scripture. I want to read it to you. The reason, I want you to have this on your mind while I'm talking here. This love for one another is an absolute. We are not going to move on without this love. And God is telling us, open your hearts to me and receive this love. There's things that we need to set aside to move on, but there's things that we need to take hold of. This was a prophecy, came from God, telling us we need to put this on to move on. So it's important. It's an absolute. It's absolutely necessary. I do not see us moving on without loving one another. Okay, so while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brother stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you. He replied to them, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Well, you see, I thought, well, he was a little bit like me. You know, was this really my daughter? It seems, feels like my daughter, but it's not my daughter. Like, I'm confused. So it sounds like Jesus was going through that same thing here. Yeah. Here are my mother's. So he said, he pointed to his disciples and said, here are my mother and here are my brothers. For whosoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother and my daughter, he could say there. And my daughter. And my son. And my grandchildren. That was Matthew 12:46. Luke 8:19. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put him into practice. That's who my mother is. John 19:25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of whatever the funny name is, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And he said to his disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her to his home and looked after her like she was his very own mother. She treated him like he was her very own son. You cannot distinguish the difference by the love that you have for one another over your own daughter or these young women in the church. They are all our daughters. That's the love that God wants for us. And he said he's going to put that in us. Isn't that something? How does that look? We have some women here that are seniors. We have women that are in homes. Seniors. We have some widows here. Yeah. I want everyone to stand up. Stand up. Every woman, every man here to stand up. I want the camera on these people because I want to tell these seniors and these widows, behold, here are your sons and your daughters. You are going to be just fine. You are going to be looked after. Because God is putting a double portion of love in them, and they will look after you. Look at these people. These are your sons and your daughters. Amen. Are your sons and your daughters. We need to look at one another in a different way. Like we are the family of God. So I'm talking to the Lord about this. And I talk to the Lord. And he answers me. So I said to him, "You mean to tell me that all these kids are all my kids? My grandkids?" Like, I said, "Lord, you know, at Christmas, Brenda likes to get carried away and buy them Christmas gifts." I said, "If I go to Brenda and say, 'Well, you got to put another 500 names on that list,' this could cause some trouble." So I said, "You better take this to Brenda too, so that we're in one mind, or it's going to cause some trouble." Yeah. I got two grandkids. Are they here? Where's Charlie and Sadie? Okay, you stand up. Where's Stuart? Because I want somebody with a big, booming voice. Stuart, New York, where are you? Okay, you stand up. Stand up. Now, Stuart is going to say, "Terry, here are your grandkids."
Terry, here are your grandkids.
He said, "You're going to say it, not right now." And he's going to say, "Here are your grandkids." And when he says that, I want all the children from 2 to 12 to stand up. I went after he said, "Okay, so say that. Here are your grandkids.
Terry, here are your grandkids.
Behold. Behold. These are all my grandchildren. All the ones that are raised in the church. All the ones in the church, they're all my grandchildren. Behold, There's my grandchildren. Because you know what? That's what Jesus would say. And you know where Jesus is? In my heart. Beginning to really control my mind. The carnal is going away. We need to love one another in that way. We are a family. We need to love one another. And God, man, I'm going to go back there because this is just so amazing. He said, I am in your presence in this moment to fill you with my love as I have never done before. Open your hearts and receive. Yeah. Just a reminder where we were. Romans 19:9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Are we doing that? Be devoted to one another in love. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spirit fervent. Serve the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient, affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Share with them. Are we doing that? Practice hospitality. Are we doing that? Are we practicing? This is what I want you to do. When you get home, go out and buy more chairs for around your table. Because we need to be hospitable. You know, when we have a family at Christmas time, or whatever, we have a family over. Look, this is your family. You're going to need a lot of chairs. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. We don't have little cliques here and stuff like that, do we? Because if we do, we will not move on. We will not move on. Do not be conceited. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live as peace with everyone. 1 Timothy 5:1. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Isn't that something? These older ones in the church are our fathers. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as if she is your sister. That is 1 Timothy 5:1-2. Now I want you to open your Bibles and mark that. Mark it. It's got to become part of us. 1 Timothy 5:1-2. Talking about the love in the church, the love in the family of God. We are brothers and sisters. The older women are our mothers. We treat them as our mothers. Would you go, you're getting off work Friday night and you are tired and there's some elderly woman across town, and she's it just snowed and her sidewalks are snowed in or something. Would you, when you're tired and you're on your way, would you think, well, I should go over and shovel her snow or I should go and visit her? Would you think that? Well, if it was your own mother, you would. If it's your own mother, you would. Would you go to the hospital and visit the sick? Some guy in the hospital, if it's your brother, you would. Would you be up all night praying for a sick child? If it was your mother, you would. And I talked to God about these children. I said, do I got to buy these Christmas gifts for all these kids? And the Lord said to me, Terry, no, don't worry about it. Ease up. You're panicking for nothing. He said, they all have grandmas and grandpas. They all have moms and dads that will look after them. Yeah. And then he said this, but if you know one of one child that is hurting or going without, if you know about a child like that, in the your heart will break. Your heart will be ripped out and will break. Just as if that child is your own. And you will. He didn't say you maybe or might or should. You will. Your heart will break and you will do something about it. And I thought, well, you don't know me, Lord. Until I heard this prophecy. So he's going to put a double portion of love in me. And that love, on my heart, guess what? Will break. And guess what? I will do something about it. Because I am not governed by the carnal anymore, but by the Christ in me, who is love. Hebrews 2:11. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. But we sure shouldn't be ashamed to call one another brothers and sisters. Hebrews 13:1. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians 12:25. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. You know, I have a lot of concern about myself. Well, I'm concerned about myself. Me, 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 me. No more of that. No more of that. The kingdom of God is about others, about helping others. I'm going to be okay because God is looking after me. And he wants to use me to look after you. He wants to use you to look after me. He wants me to be praying for you. He wants us to be praying for one another. Equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. One part is honored, every part rejoices with it. If one part honors, I'm going to tell you another little story. Charlie, 11-year-old, hockey player. Now, you know, some people in some other countries might not know what ice hockey is, but they know what soccer is and basketball, and you know what a kid's playing. It's about, you know, who goes to these games? Who goes to the game, the soccer game with the kids? Or I'll tell you who goes. Mothers, fathers, grandmas and grandpas, maybe an aunt. Yeah. Family takes part in these things. Charlie had a hockey game an hour from Edmonton. Daryl and Norma went. Uncle Stuart went. I'm there. They're watching Charlie. I mean, you know, which was pretty amazing watching him. I look at the people in the rink watching the game. And know who I see? People's mothers and fathers, maybe some grandparents. But this other kid, His family was extended into the spiritual realm in the body of Christ. And there was Daryl and Norma and Stuart watching their own kid. One of their own. It says, honor. We were invited to a birthday party. The Filipino church, they said, come, you know, they have a birthday party. They have parties, like you wouldn't believe. But one of the four-year-olds or something had a birthday. So, you know, we were invited. We went there, and this is from the church there, and in Hinton, and we went to, you couldn't get into the house. It was full. The whole church was there to celebrate the birthday of this four-year-old. I thought, man, we could learn something here. We're too busy for that. We're too busy to get together as a family. One of them bought a house, a big celebration. Everybody went from the church. They got a new house. Celebrate with someone that's celebrating. Honor the one that's honored. Hurt with the one that's hurting. We need to take heed to this stuff. John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This does not mean that we tell people we love one another. No, that's not what it means. If you want to know what love is, go to 13th chapter in Corinthians, and it tells you. We treat each other kindly. We forgive one another. We do not hold grudges. We don't remember the wrong they did. We serve one another. We're kind to one another. It's an action. They can see it. We don't tell them we love one another and just go on our own way. We love one another. And they will see that we are God's people. This is why I always talk about these bumper stickers that we put on so people notice we're Christians. You see, that's plan B. What I'm reading here is plan A. They will know you by the way you love one another, but if you're slipping up on that, we go to plan B. We'll put some bumper stickers on. So. Anyway, I'm just talking to you about things that God has been talking to me about. And you know, like God is telling me, Terry, pull up your socks. Pull up your socks. Well, let's read some other scriptures along these lines. 1 John 3, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. James 2:16, if one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about it, what good is that? Acts. This one here, this thing here in Acts, the church in Acts, where the foundation of the church was laid. Listen to what it says here. And the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Not with grudgingly hearts. glad and sincere hearts. They did this willingly. It wasn't a religion. It wasn't a religion. It was in their hearts because they had the heart of their God. They had the compassion of their God. They had the love of their God in them. Oh, hallelujah. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad, sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily. Acts 4:32. All of the believers were one heart and one mind. Oh, saints of God. We need, and we're going to move on, we need to be of one heart and one mind. There cannot be division in the camp. We are not going on with division in the camp. No one claimed that any of their own position was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was powerfully at work in them, that there were no needy person among them, for from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to the needy. Their concerns were for one another. When they saw a needy person, their heart broke. And they shared what they had. You know why? Because they had the love of God dwelling in them. Religion that God our Father accepts is pure and faultless in this, to look after the orphans and widows, and to in the distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted. True religion is looking after the orphans and the widows. True worship. Yes. True worship is looking after one another. Oh, saints of God, we worship, oh, praise you, Lord. And then don't treat each other, we don't love one another. Our worship is not good for nothing. Our worship will not move us on if we don't love one another. True worship, true worship is being obedient. Obedience to God. Was it Jacob took Isaac up and he said, he took him up to the mountain and he said to his servants, you wait here, I am going up the mountain to worship God. He didn't go up there with a guitar. He went up there to be obedient to God. I am going up to the mountain to worship my God. He was going to put his son, he was going to on the altar. I am going to worship my God, he said. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be about my Father's business. I want to be, they said, where is Jesus? I haven't seen him in 3 days. His parents went and looked for him. And here he was, 12 years old, and they said, what are you doing? And he was talking to some religious leaders there, and he said, you should know I would be about my Father's business. I hope that when God looks at us, he sees us about his Father's business. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are in the family of believers. That's Galatians 6 and 10. Family. When God talks to us, he talks to us as we are family. 1 John 4:21, and he has given us this commandment, everyone who loves God must also love their brothers and sisters. How can you say you love God if you don't love your brother and sister? How can you say I love God and you don't love your brother? That's what the Lord is asking. Yeah, and I got this verse here. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, as so on earth. Yeah. When you go to heaven, you are not going to see any disunity. You're not going to see any bickering. You're not going to see any unforgiveness. Yeah. You're going to see love flow like a river. And we want that on earth as it is in heaven. We want it to be in our midst. Praise God. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Wow. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity and covers a multitude of sin. Oh, we need to love. Let the love of God flow. First Thessalonians 4:9. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. This is an amazing little piece of scripture here. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. And this is what God is saying to us right here. And this is what I meant to read, is just this one verse, but I took a little longer. But it says, now about your love for one another. He's talking to them about their love for one another. Now about your love for one another. We do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Have you been taught to love each other? Have you been taught to love each other? Yes, we have. And in fact, you do love each other. In fact, it says, in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. And I'm going to say, take that word and say, throughout the move of the Spirit. You do. But there's more here. It says, yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. I urge you to love one another more and more. The Holy Spirit is urging us to love one another more and more. We need to enter into these things. We need to put some things aside. We need to grasp this love for one another. And in one hand, we got to let go. The other hand, we got to grab hold of. We got to show God we're serious. He's talking to us in these prophecies about these things. This was a prophecy, Marine. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Put them behind me. When I became a man. And I'm telling you, bickering and unforgiveness and all this kind of stuff is childish. We are not children anymore. We're not fully mature sons yet. We're not fully mature sons and daughters, but we're not children anymore. We have got to put these things behind us. Put them aside. We got to take hold of the things that God has for us. I wanted so badly last night to enter right in through the veil into the heavenly realms. But I was blocked like this because of these things. Saints of God, we got to put them behind us. We got to love one another. Oh, hallelujah. We need this display of love where we're hugging each other and loving one another. And we can only do it if we open our hearts to me and receive. We need to open our hearts to God and receive. Oh, and the shackles will fall off. The unforgiveness will be... we won't even talk about it. It'll be gone. There will be no fear in our elderly. They'll know that they have sons and daughters to watch over them. There will be no loneliness. There will be no sick child in a hospital without someone on their knees praying for them. Because we will be praying for our own. Praise God.
If you would like more information about the moving of God's Spirit or resources for your spiritual life, please visit our website at www.globalmissionsinc.org.